Hey y'all.
My gosh, what are
Hey y'all.
you
Yeah, we're back. You know,
wearing? Look at the back.
honestly, this is a look. It's giving.
It's giving toilet. I thought
No,
it
this is actually a shawl that I found that is legitimately from the 1980s. Somebody run prom something. Prince. It was prom Prince. Yeah, see, it says Prince
okay, I'm
Homecoming.
sorry. It looks like a
A
toilet
piece of
paper
toilet paper?
from my
Never.
angle.
Okay, that look, the oh my gosh, remember when girls used to dye their hair half colors like that?
Yes.
The top is white and the bottom is black. It's giving punk
Oh, yes.
girl with lip piercing.
Yes. I don't have my hair tie, so I don't I'm having a hard time.
You're probably wondering,
Actual hair back.
what are these maniacs doing? Well, we thought it would be perfect to not only celebrate
There
October, but
we
the episode Hairography.
Hairography. Oh, one of our favorites.
Iconic, iconic. There's so much content in this episode that's worthy of music and relationship and representation. That was something that I did not
Yeah.
realize until I went through this time around. I've seen this 5 times. The representation in this episode was so good that I think I probably said this before, but I think this complete episode was the episode that got me to be like, okay, I can stick it. I can stick to the end of whatever this show is going to do. Because they did a great job representing. I felt all the emotions.
Representing who?
Okay, so we've got, so basically what was happening was we were starting to be introduced to the competition in the local area for
Yeah.
sectionals, for the Glee sectionals, Glee Club sectionals.
Yes.
And we got introduced to more than just like, you know, Lima, Ohio people. We got specific communities. Well, where did I begin? So this was for me. This was one for the culture. One of the groups was led by basically one of these groups was a correctional facility for girls that, you know, were in trouble with the law. They did illegal things, but it was also a school. And they had a glee club led by a teacher who was played by the legendary EVE, Eva, the rapper, which was a huge surprise because I'm like, how in the world did they get Eve to actually play a role? And if I can recollect, she's only really done a lot of sitcom work. This may have been one of her first drama or early drama things, on TV at least. And it was really cool to see her in that, but I did not expect it. Yeah, watching it back, being like, okay, the black community is the one with the issues, but they had Eve, so I can't be completely mad.
Like you're talking about when the Glee Club is like figuring out who its competition is, when
Yes.
they're talking about this like school for like kids that have been in juvie or have had run-ins with the law, like you said, who basically have had like a harder time than this Glee Club. It is a predominantly black and brown crew, which like is commu it is giving a stereotype all the way through, for
And the
sure.
girl's name was Aphasia, who was getting in trouble at the opening. I was like, all right,
You
calm
kind of
down,
just feel Mr. Schuster's wallet as he like walked in the door.
Yes. Steals his wallet. That was actually pretty clever. But anyway, I was like, okay, I can get past this because basically he's like, yo, there's some foul play happening with Sue Sylvester trying to reveal our set list to the competition. And we want to be on an equal playing field. Excuse
And
me, thank
he's
you.
trying to figure out how or if Sue is getting information to A, this school for the disenfranchised, I guess would be the word I would use, or the school for the deaf, who is their other competition.
Exactly. And basically he's like, we'll play fair if you like, we'll play fair and we'll give you an opportunity to be on a fair playing ground if you agree to it. And basically Eva's like, we don't have anywhere to rehearse. We rehearse outside and it's Ohio and da da
Well, and
da. She's like,
she, well,
no.
so, and she's like, I don't know, like she's definitely the they don't call theirs Glee Club. I don't remember what they called it.
Oh yeah.
She written it down, but like, it's a lot of kids,
Yeah.
and her whole thing. And I appreciated that they talked about this. I wish they'd done a little bit more on this, but how even though they don't have an auditorium like McKinley High, even though they don't have costumes or a band or like you know like all of the resources that McKinley High kids have, they still like Mr. Schuster invites them to come like use their auditorium and we'll do like a little practice competition and like we'll do a little scrimmage, right? You perform for us, we'll perform for you. And honestly, these girls show up and show out. Like they kill
No.
it and they sing
Yeah. Bootylicious, duh.
Bootylicious.
Not
The
duh.
Jane Addams Girls Choir, that's what it was called.
Yes, the
Jane
Jane Addams
Addams
Girls Choir.
is
Love that
the
it was called Jane Addams. But because Jane Addams, I'm pretty sure, did not twerk, but we don't know her.
We're not sure, but and yeah, so they have this comp. I mean, it's not a competition, it's like a practice, like performance.
Yeah.
The thing is that
A showcase.
yes, a showcase. Oh, I miss
Yeah.
showcases. We got to talk about showcases later. But yeah, so they're invited to come perform, which in that moment gives this episode its name, where all these girls have like beautiful long hair, like tons of different
Beautiful.
textures, colors, designs, styles, you know, and like none of this like short pixie cut wig business, you
Even
know.
though short hair, we do care.
Yes, we do care. But the joke of it is at the end of their performance, which was amazing,
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Rachel Berry is like trying to console Mr. Schuster because Mr. Schuster's like, oh my gosh, they're actually really good. We thought this was going to be an easy win against the underprivileged school and then the school for the deaf, which also check your assumptions, my friend. But Rachel Berry is like, they weren't that good. They were just distracting you with their hairography. They
Oh,
were that good.
and if we
I will
that,
say they were that good. Yes.
if we're gonna break it down, they were singing, dancing, and harmonizing, and
Which is show choir.
yes, and New Directions could never, not that good, and not in season one. I'll say it. I said
No,
it.
they honestly, yeah. Of the
Just singing in
three,
unison.
yes. So we've got our Glee, you know, our main character Glee Club are kind of intimidated, and then Mr. Schuster kind of buys into this, oh my gosh, we need hairography to win. So he buys all these wigs and hands them out to the kids, which is very funny, but also brings up a new, you know, consideration of even Mr. Schuster is getting intimidated and is now losing the focus of teaching kids to love and use music to express themselves, and is now trying to go like, oh my gosh, this is now about winning and we need hairography to win, which is, you know.
Which could be helpful because it's like, oh, like it is a competition and you want to get far. So like, what do we do to kind of push that? But
Well,
once again,
what are our strengths as a choir?
yeah, what is
What
our
is our
strength?
strength?
What can we do performance-wise? What can we do as performers to enhance the performance?
Which for Jane Addams Girls Choir, that might be one of their strengths. That might be something that they can use their advantage. But the question that is brought up in this episode is this true to the character of McKinley High School? And according
And
to the kids, it's not.
yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, it's not.
According to me,
Maybe
yes.
Brittany, maybe Santana, you know what I mean? You know,
Yeah,
maybe
the
Mercedes, but it's definitely not a whole Glee Club character.
cheerleader. Okay, here's the thing too.
Okay.
Yes, ultimately, yeah, you're right. But I think they killed it. When they put those wigs on, the song that they did with the wigs, I'm
Yeah,
like crazy
another
if I
great,
mess
well,
up.
and now we have another iconic mashup of hair from the musical Hair
Your hair
and Crazy
and
in
crazy in
Love.
love. And I think they killed that as a group. I
They
was
did.
surprised.
They did.
I'm watching that back today. I'm like, no, they actually did great with the wigs. So I'm at a conflict. They could keep them, they could lose them. That's where I stand. But wigs are just superpowers,
And then so there and there's two other things going on in this like that's the most fun part about this episode is the hairography, the the conversation around do we need this, do we not need this? But the other two, there's like two other storylines that are going through this episode at the same time. And one storyline is around Quinn again. In
Yeah,
this
of course.
episode, she's trying to figure out if Puck would be worth raising a baby with.
Ooh, yeah,
And
that's deep.
she,
Real question.
so she's questioning whether her baby should be adopted. And she babysits like some crazy kids with Puck to try to see what he'd be like as a father. It kind of worked out, but it didn't work out because Puck kind of betrayed her at the end of the episode because he was flirting with someone else while they were babysitting.
Santana.
Yeah, which
That's
that
Santana's first like
like big
story
one.
arc.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
Character arc.
We learned that Santana has a thing for Puck, and Puck has a thing for Santana. And so there's that storyline, and then also I mean that's an important storyline regarding plot because it deepens Puck's character, it brings Santana to the front. But I re also love this oh, this episode is so much, and I keep forgetting. We also have a storyline of Kurt and Rachel battling it out for a solo, right? Isn't that?
Wait, huh?
Nope, that's the next episode. I always get them mixed up. That's what again, that's what happens when you watch multiple episodes together.
They were battling though. They were battling
They were
for
battling.
attention because they were being manipulated by Quinn as she was trying to figure out who's gonna raise my baby, which is plot problematic. She was convincing Kurt to give Rachel
A makeover.
tools, to be a distraction so she can figure out if Finn is the guy or if Puck is the guy.
She wants Finn distracted while she spends time with Puck. Manipulative. Goodness gracious. Goodness gracious.
Goodness
I
gracious.
feel like in this hair, my name is Pamela. I don't know why. I'm getting Pamela
Well,
vibes.
it reminds me of this TikTok I saw where the lady was like, "What in the tarnation?"
What in the Sam Hill? But we have Kurt trying to sabotage Rachel by giving her this crazy makeover, telling Rachel, "Oh, Finn likes bad girls. He likes girls in tight, sexy clothing." When in
She dressed
actuality, Finn's just like kind of a big dummy who is just
Yeah.
like he's more interested in someone's personality, which is an endearing part of Finn is he isn't. I mean, he's dating a really beautiful cheerleader who is stereotypically beautiful, blah blah blah. But like.
And he says something funny that I can't remember what he said. He was like, "Yeah, she tried to dress up in clothing to look like."
Well, she dressed up as Catwoman.
Yeah. And she
Yeah.
was
So Rachel at one point is like trying to seduce Finn while they're supposed to be practicing a duet. And she dress I mean Kurt dresses her up as she looks like Candy from Grease at the end, like, tell me about it, Stella. And she's in this like, I mean, it's not that revealing, but it's like very
No, it's
tight
just, yeah,
black
very short
clothing,
hourglass.
and she starts singing, "You're the One That I Want" from Grease. And then Finn just like, "Oh my gosh, what's happening?" And he said he thought she looked like Catwoman,
And that is
probably because Finn's
funny.
character has never seen Grease.
Yes, and that is so funny because there was a lot of little era jokes this whole episode. There was that, and then it was Santana confronting Quinn, and she was like, "FYI, asking someone to babysit with you is so 1990s, or is the
Absolutely.
90s." And I was like, "That is so funny because that's so true." And she's like, "Oh, and by the way, he was cheating, and we were sexting." And she was like, "What's sexting?" She's like, "What era are you from?" And I was dying. I was like, "Wow, they really gave her
Which,
an
thinking
iconic
about our last episode, we talked a little bit about like sex education and like how
line."
kids, I mean, young adults, kids, however you want to call high school, I mean, high schoolers, they're that's the scariest thing about high school is like they're still kids, they're still minors, but they're also like becoming people that can
Making
think for
adult
themselves and making
decisions.
adult decisions and
Yep. Yep.
I mean, keep high schoolers as not to be like don't tell them things, but like I keep them kids. You know what I mean? Like if you're under 18, you don't need to worry about this. But anyways, but like we talked about this and how, you know, not sure how much Quinn really knows or understands or, you know, participates in like
Yeah.
all these, you know, things that teens do to flirt and try to hook up with each other and all this stuff. But yeah, it's giving confusion. She's just confused. Yeah. Oh man,
Yeah.
there's so much that happened. And then we also have to talk about the other performance that happens in this
We have
episode.
to.
Yeah. So the director of the Haverbrook or Haverbrook Deaf Choir, which is the third group that they'll be performing with at sectionals
Mm-hmm. Sectionals.
or regionals? Sectionals, right?
I mean,
We're
it
not
starts with the
regionals yet. We
section,
gotta get
but
the sectionals first, yes.
yeah.
Here's that Mr. Schuster invites the director of the Jane Addams Girls Choir to a scrimmage, you know, and then he's offended because he's like, our kids are just as qualified, are just as excited, or just, you know, they work just as hard, if not harder. And there's a really sweet moment where New Directions performs. Do they perform the Hair Crazy in Love
Yeah,
number? Don't
to
they
with
do?
them. Remember,
Yeah.
because they applauded like
Right. Because yeah, the applause.
applause. They're like talking.
And the Haverbrook Deaf Choir, they perform through sign language the song Imagine.
Yes, it was like
Which
popped through, which was really beautiful.
yeah, there was only one student from that choir who was speaking the words or singing the words as best he could. But all of the kids in the choir from the deaf choir were signing. And so I gotta get into this because this is such a weird thing to think about. But so during the deaf choir's signing of Imagine, which is very sweet and beautiful, and again, kind of pulls into that, they're doing something that is really, it really leans into who they are and what they care about rather than what they think is going to help them win, right? Like that's kind of what's being communicated in their performance. It's not good per se from like a professional, like analytical standpoint, but then I think for the sake of storytelling and for the sake of like sweetness and a beautiful moment, like the Glee kids start singing with the deaf kids from the deaf choir, and it's storytelling, it's very sweet, but I'm thinking about this from a performance perspective where the rudest thing you can do while someone else is performing is sing with them and part and jump into the performance. Like if you've ever had, like we're talking about showcases, right? So are you talking about like choir, show choir, theater? Like what are you talking about?
Just in general, like
Yeah.
performances, like like a talent show. It's
Yeah.
like, hey, we're gonna show up and everyone performs.
So can you imagine a group coming to perform at a showcase, whether they're deaf or not, whether they're actually singing or not, whether they're signing or not, and like during their performance you start performing with them even though you've never performed with, like
Okay, you're making
I'm thinking about it from both this is a dramatic story that's being told, and they're not thinking about like literal, but I'm also thinking about like what is concert etiquette, you know, what does it mean to be a good audience member, to be a good host of a group that's visiting to perform at your school, you know, and it's like it just made me laugh because the two parts of my brain that were like this is so rude, and the other part's like but it's really sweet because they're all performing together and they're learning the sign language, and I'm like it's a both and, like from a realistic standpoint it made me cringe. Yeah, it made me laugh though.
I saw it more of the symbolism because the song was Imagine, by the way. Imagine all the people. And the thing is that the song was talking about unity and perspective, and it started to shift what it was all about. I think that was it because they were getting to a point where it's like choreography, performance, da 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 da, which is important. But then it came to like oh my gosh, we're a part of something that unifies people of different backgrounds and abilities. And I think that was a symbolic moment in itself and what caused, you know, the singing along with the choir that was performing. And mind you, it was also in the show choir room, so it wasn't like they literally ran up stage or anything crazy where there
No,
was
I know.
audience
Which
or
also speaks
anything.
to why did the deaf kids perform in the choir room, but Jane Addams High School or Jane Addams Girls Choir got to perform in the auditorium, you know.
True. Oh wow, you really broke that down. That is actually
Well,
not what
just observe, just I mean, that's why we're talking about it, is because
I thought about.
different
But
things
no, that's a
happen.
point. And maybe the symbolism of it all, but I think that it was beautiful too, because they didn't just get up there, sing, take over, and push them to the side. They joined them, they learned along with them, they really changed their hearts. And I think that as far as representation goes in general, is a beautiful thing to see and learn. And that's
Nice.
one of my favorite Glee covers that they've done the whole series.
I agree. Well, and also, I mean, so, you know, that's my, if this were actually happening in real life, this wouldn't actually happen in real life kind
Right,
of thought,
right.
which you and I have gone back and forth for years about, like, my frustration of they're not going to be handed sheet music and immediately know every single thing
Right.
within 5 seconds, right? Like, but from a storytelling perspective, it is really beautiful. And I also think about there are probably, I mean, likely there are people out there who watch this episode of Glee who had never even thought that a deaf choir existed. You know
Ooh,
what I mean? Or had watched
exactly.
so and never thought that a correctional school or a school for, you know, underprivileged, difficult kids who have had a hard time in life already, who have gotten trouble with the law or whatever, you know, whatever,
And
but that
specifically
they would have a
women
Glee
too.
club. Yeah,
There
and
was a lot of minor, like there was a lot of like
minority
specifics in that
representation.
group. Yeah,
Yeah. Well, like
exactly.
to think about, there are probably people who watched the show and had never even thought that these kind of groups would exist, but they do. They do
Exactly.
exist. Yeah.
Yes, and the healing power of music, like music really. Oh, that was the other point too. We forgot to even talk about how music impacted the babysitting job with Quinn and Fit
Right.
and
Yes.
Huck.
Yeah.
Like it was the bad Terry's bad nephews who would
Yeah,
disturb
Terry's
him.
sister's kids.
Yeah, couldn't you
Who?
know, the more I cannot stand that family, the sister,
No, they're
I
pretty
didn't realize
bad.
how problematic the sister was until this time around too. I'm like, this lady is no good either.
Right.
And it makes
Well,
sense.
it makes me want to go, what are Terry's parents like?
Oh gosh,
You know
I
what I
don't
mean?
want to know. It's
Yeah.
they're already too much. But anyways, the kids never really calmed
Sorry.
down, and Puck finally is like, "Hey, you know, want to hear a concert?" Or Quinn is like,
Yeah.
"Want to hear a concert?" And she sings like, "I did not realize how Quinn was such a main character first season, but I love hearing her voice, and that
Yeah.
was a really fun song to hear." And the boys
Which the song
cooperate.
was Papa Don't Preach,
Yeah, Papa Don't
which was
Preach.
so good. And it's her first song with Puck. It's her first duet with Puck.
Yes, and the song lyrics were literally about her issue with her dad.
Yeah.
Hey,
And yeah.
they knew what they were doing when they
Yeah,
did
this honestly, we could have spent like 3 episodes talking about this episode, like
it.
truly.
Yeah, it's very, very powerful. And this is one thing that Glee definitely got right. I mean, yeah,
Right.
I've never seen
So
it
good.
before, and I was really excited. The last time I saw something like this was probably on Barney. Remember they had a kid that was hard of hearing,
Yeah.
who he was a main character too, and that was probably my first exposure
Yeah.
to that. But to make the main characters, and even we were talking about with Becky, and it was just like, you know, Artie, the community Artie is representing. Like I have, that was my first exposure to all of that, and knowing that
Really? Okay.
it was possible
Yeah.
to be able to still dream, even though you may have limits. Like, really?
Well, or to look at it from another perspective,
Yeah.
is that like, is, are they actually limits or are they just a different way of existing in the world that able-bodied or people who have their hearing or people who may not, have Down syndrome, like that's just the way
Yeah.
we've been told that, oh, like that's a limit, that's something that they overcome, and they're inspirational, and it's like, no, they're just living their life, and that's just the body and the brain and the personality that they were born with, you know, that kind of, it's just, yeah, different perspective.
No, that's really good too. And they're full of this. I think as we go on, we'll see more representation angly of people who aren't as
Typical.
common. Yeah, typical, common.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really enjoy this episode,
Yeah.
all the covers. I still listen to most of the songs from this episode specifically.
Yeah.
They're
The Imagine, Delicious. And then actually the last song of the episode, which is the character Tina's very like
Oh.
big solo. Not her first solo, because she's had like little things here and there, but
I nearly forgot. Oh
yeah,
my
Tina
gosh. How
leaves
dare I
the Glee
forget
Club and
this?
singing True Colors at the
Jenna,
end, which is one of my
iconic.
favorite songs from Glee, period.
One of my favorite songs in general, which don't be cliche, it's a good, well-written song, about love and just everything that it entails. But that was another representation. I would say that too, to have a girl of Asian descent lead a song, was one of my first exposures too. Like, I literally saw everything that I have not seen before in this type of episode.
Interesting.
Actually, well, my teacher was Filipino and she did teach a lot of music, but I think as far as mainstream culture goes, Jenna as Tina was iconic.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't
It's
realize. I mean, I knew that this was, I mean, it taught a lot of people a lot of different things. It exposed
yeah.
a lot of people to different, you know, people who are maybe not what they grew up with. I didn't realize it was that deep for you. That's
I'm
interesting.
telling people, and people get all woo-woo-woo. No, I'm serious. Now, I was exposed to diversity. I don't think I'm a weirdo, but
I don't think you're weird. Well,
I am
I think
weird.
you're weird, but for different reasons.
Yes, thank you. But no, there was a lot of stuff I did not see, did not know, because it just didn't exist in a certain way. It existed in other spaces, but like performing wise, I guess it was very, I never had seen it before. And I mean, without getting too deep, most of the people that I knew that were necessarily born different, or and there's other ways of saying that, but just like people who were handicapped or things like that, were in my exposure, were not able to do certain things, and performing was even out of the question. I had never seen it. So something like Glee comes along, where it's like people who have run in with the law, who are deaf, who are blind, who, autistic. It really gave me a whole new perspective. So that's why I'm also a stan for things like
Good stuff.
that.
Dang. Whew, I gotta take a breath. Gotta take a breath.
Yeah.
No, but it is a thick episode. It has so much music. It has so many triple C thick, baby. And it's got, well, and here's the last thing I'm gonna say with this episode. The twist is at the very end, it turns out that Sue Sylvester is indeed scheming with the other two choirs. Like the whole episode, they, you know, the they lead you to believe that, oh no, like this is just a coincidence, it's all in your head, you're just, you know, Mr. Schuster, you're just worried about Sue. No, she's actually trying, she's is actually plotting with these other two choirs. And so we'll have to see in the next few episodes like what that plot
What happened?
adds
Because
up
we're
to.
getting close. We're
We're
getting
getting
close.
halfway through. We're on
And,
episode 11 of
oof.
22 episodes in season one. I can't believe it.
Ooh, wait,
Woo!
so we are halfway through.
We're
No,
halfway.
we are.
We are
We are.
halfway through right now.
We are halfway through.
Indeed.
Indeed.com. But
Any, oh, go ahead, sorry.
no, I didn't say, I was gonna
Any last words before we
say
sign
nothing.
off,
That's
Jasper?
weird. This is a good episode. I don't want to ever leave it. I'm just really excited for when it gets into like that stuff that really got me into Glee.
Yeah, and this was one of them.
This was one of them. Like, I could cry, and I will.
I agree. I the moment with Imagine, with the paper book, Haverbrook, Calvary State, Deaf Choir, and the McKinley Kids. That is a moment stapled in my mind forever that I will not forget.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Tina's, yeah, I see your truth. But yeah, I love it.
All right. Well,
all right,
we
but
gotta
on
wrap
that
it up.
Note, let's end with some hairography. Oh, wait, your wig's gone, sis.
I flipped it off. You missed it.
Your wig flew off. Didn't, like, Katy Perry used to say that? She was like, you made my wig fly, and it was a thing for, like, a year. No, you weren't there. American Idol, anybody? Oh.
I stopped watching American Idol way before Katy Perry joined, so that's not on her.
I mean, technically, I did, too, but I know what goes viral. Sheesh. Because, you know.
Again, you're the one that's, I mean, not that I'm not in tune, but you're way more in tune with pop culture than I've ever
been. Just all call right. me Papa. All right.
Papa culture. Okay, we gotta go. But next time, come back next time to hear our next episode where we talk about more Glee, more things we love. Maybe we'll have some more hairography.
Yeah,
we'll talk more about Halloween and costumes.
Well, this is a look.
We got time.
Yes.
But for
absolutely.
Now, we're gonna sign out.
We gotta take a picture with the wigs so that
mine's on the floor.
Wow. Girl.
I tossed it off. You missed my dramatic moment.
Have you seen Schitt's Creek where wigs are like
yes
named?
I love that show.
Moira. Baby.
Christmas is her for Halloween. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Okay,
I know
we go.
You live for this content where we're doing visual things, but you're still listening.
Share, like, subscribe, comment. Tell us things. We love to hear from
check
you.
Check in with us. Tell us how your day's going. You doing all right?
Yeah.
What's your favorite Glee cover?
Ooh, so far, too. Season one.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
All right, thanks guys for tuning to Glee or Not to Glee. Bye. Hair, nails, hips, heels, nails. Bye. Bye.
Bye.